With that, we come to the speaker. I welcome with me Nikhil, and he will talk about the curious case of Indian metros. I hope you give him a warm welcome on our stage and enjoy his talk.
Thank you, everyone. So the talk title is not really curious case of Indian metro. It's traveling for free in India. I'm going to teach you how to travel for free in each and every metro that exists in India, no matter where you are. Metros in India, first of all, I think I should explain what metro is. But before that, about me, I am a backend engineer by job. That fills my stomach. I also am very interested in breaking and making software and hardware, mostly the breaking part, not the making part. So what are we going to learn today? We are going to go through simple like NFC bits, some theory. Then in India, we are like the metro system there, they quite love old technology. So they are using a card that was launched in, I think, 2008. It's called MiFire DESFire EV1. MiFire DESFire EV1, sorry. And then we'll go through the problems with the pen testing side of it, solution, and some real world example, which is the real part. But before that, now comes the metro part. So metro is very similar to U-Bahn that you have in Germany. We call it metro over there. And it's a combination of U-Bahn and S-Bahn. I think U-Bahn is like way similar to what Indian metros are. And ticketing is way different. So every metro station, you have to take a ticket from a particular station to a particular station. It's not a general ticket, like it's not a two-hour ticket or something. There is a time limitation, but the tickets are always from one station to other station. Those are, we call them tokens, and there is also a travel card. I will come to that later on. So there is also a recharge process that will come when we talk about the travel card. But before that, what is NFC? NFC, I think it's pretty easy to understand if you like compare it to HTTP. It's just a protocol. You send data from one device to other device. Here, it's like small distance because most of the cards that we use, for example, I don't really have an example over here. If you think that this is a metro card, this is an NFC card, then I think 5 centimeter, if it's in a 5 centimeter range of a reader, NFC reader, then it will power itself and like send data. The reader basically powers the card. This is what a metro card looks like. This is a travel card for Delhi Metro, and this is a MiFire DESFire EV1 card. It's basically some fancy name for just the NFC card. Some features of MiFire DESFire EV1 is it has a 7-byte UID, which can be randomized, which is a security feature. And guess what? Indian metros, no security features. So they are always stable. There is a hardware cryptography engine. It's there for AES and 3DES and DES, some two more protocols. I think you can read about it online. We are not interested in that. So data stored in files. There are four types of files, and there are like 16 applications in which the files can exist. Every application has its own key to unlock it. So encryption is not just for the whole card, it's for the it's application wise. And it's normally used for travel card because one of the file type is just the currency, a purse mode. It acts like a purse. You can credit debit from it, and you can check the money, basically. It's there for money. Why is pen testing hard? First of all, it's short range. The main problem is, am I TMing the data? There is no way you can really like man in the middle. This particular line over here, I can't hook up scope in real world because one of the way that you can MITM data is if you have like one active NFC card and it is communicating with a NFC reader. You could, in theory, take an oscilloscope, coil the cable around, connect it to ground, and then put it between, for example, this is the card, this is the reader, you can put the coil in between, and you could, in theory, read it. I can't carry an oscilloscope to a metro station where all the policemen are. They are going to ask me questions. So we need to find something cheap, something small, something concise, and we'll go through it. Lack of testing hardware. I come from India. It's very expensive there. You can't really get, for example, Proxmark. It's the best hardware that you could buy for NFC pen testing. It's 300 something euros here. That is like, and you will have to like buy two of them for the full attack that we are going to talk about. That is 600 euros. It is well enough for a family of four to feed themselves for 6 months, 600 euros. So that is like way expensive for me. I need to find a cheaper solution. And the major part, encryption, encryption, and encryption. There's just too much encryption. We'll go through it. Before that, now comes the part where I explain to you how the recharge process works, how the top-up works. So the top-up is normally like two-step. You can use your phone, use some online medium to recharge your card, but that is not the final stage. That is the first stage. You have initiated a recharge for your card. You have paid for it. The recharge is not done. To complete the recharge, you will have to find this machine at the metro premise. It's called an AVM. You go to the AVM, you change the language to English, and then you put the card over there. It's basically NFC reader, a modified NFC reader. You click on inquiry. There is a check for top-up button where the finger is. You click on check for top-up, and it will show you a pending recharge, the one you initiated for earlier. And then you have to click on valid, and the recharge should be complete now. This is the second stage. This is the stage that we are going to exploit, by the way. So now, how to hack it? Normally, you have those access-based NFC card, like for your office, etc. You have a card, you put on the lock, and it unlocks, right? You go in. They don't really have an encrypted section. So you could just copy to infinity those cards and emulate your like emulate it on your phone or emulate it on a Flipper Zero or something. And you could be, you are making an NFC card by doing that. Here, it doesn't really work because the card is encrypted. And the card is made like so that even if it's encrypted, you will still have to give it the proper key to unlock the application. And only then you would be able to read the data. Now, you might be like a bit confused because even if the data is encrypted, you should be able to like copy to infinity. It's encrypted data, but I should be able to copy it, right? That doesn't work. So now the sensible answer to this is relay. It's like a fancy fancy MITM. Relay can work, but there should be the identification problem in here. Identification problem is basically in a real world. For example, I'm talking to a German. I don't know German, but I'm talking to a person who is from Germany. He knows German. And I don't know German, but somebody could just tell me, oh, just say this. It's fine. You don't really have to know the meaning. You could just say this, and you will receive an answer. Just tell me that, right? Now, if I just say the same thing in like a proper accent, then the person might not know that I do not know German, right? That is the identification problem. They can't identify that I am not a German. So something similar happens here. This is how a relay should look like. On the left, you have the reader, which is our metro reader, the AVM. And on the very right, you have the card. Is it even like visible for you guys? OK, I will zoom in. If our data wants to go from the reader to the card, we could put some three machine setup in between that will just read the data and like log it or do whatever with it and like keep the data going on. So this packet is meant for the PIC. PIC is just the card, and it is coming from the PCD, which is just the reader. So the packet, instead of directly going to the card, it will go through a device that is acting like a card. It's not really a card. That device is connected to a server. That server is connected to another device, which is acting like a reader. It is not really a reader. And then that particular device is talking to the original card. So now it's the same scene here. The reader is, for example, it's speaking German. I am this particular device, PIC. I do not know German, but I could speak like that. So I'm just, whatever I learned from this device, I am just sending it forward till it reaches the card. And I'm doing the same thing reverse. So whatever the data that is meant for the reader, it is going through the server and two devices that are acting like the card and the reader. And this particular server in between, which is connecting two devices, it can either log or modify data in some way. And that is a hacking part. We'll come to it. We need two devices and a server for it. A server can be literally anything. It can be the device as well. I'm going to use like two Android phones for this. By the way, there is not going to be a demo because there were some visa implications, some problem with the visa. If I could, I am traveling with one phone. If I wanted to show you the demo, I would have traveling with like three extra phones. Though there will be like four phones for our tourist visa. Not good to go. So. My original idea was maybe I could use some cheap PN532. A PN532 is basically an NFC reader, and it can also emulate things. Maybe I could just use that breakout board, and I should be able to do it. But it's not that easy because, first of all, the documentation is very fucked up. You don't really find documentation that well. And I remember reading in some discussion that you can't really emulate 7-byte UID. You could only emulate 4-byte UID with PN532. And our card is 7-byte UID, so you can't really, not good to go. So this is what my PN532 setup used to look like. There are two those red boards that you see, those are two PN532s. There is a Raspberry Pi 0 on the bottom over here, and some UART2 TTL. Now, imagine something. This is going through a Metro security system, and they are able to see what I'm going to do. And the policemen over there, they are not that technical. If they see that you are putting something else instead of card on the reader, they're going to ask you questions. So it suddenly became a social engineering problem as well. So I used to travel with some person who will keep talking to the policeman nearby. So he can't look at me and I could do my shenanigans. Sometimes I will like find a tall enough person so they could stand. So if the reader is here, I will do my shit here, and they are standing in the line of sight, so they can't see what I'm doing. And I got in trouble one time. It was easy. When you get in trouble in India, you just act dumb. They will let you go after 2-3 minutes. So Android device. You can't really use them directly because Android emulation, NFC emulation, is just the UID emulation and the hardware and the software revision emulation. But you need to emulate the encrypted data as well. For that, you need XHOOK and XPost. You need to directly communicate with the libNFC driver and not the hard layer in between. And it sounds so fancy to do all that, but somebody has already done it. So this is the project name, NFC Gate. Relay is officially supported by this. But while using it, there was a problem. It ships with a Python VS server, and the Python part is the problem here. Because our next villain, FWT. FWT is frame wait time. When the communication starts with starts from the reader in the card tells some crucial information to the reader. One of them is a frame wait time. It basically defines that if I don't reply, the card doesn't reply in this much amount of time, just close the connection. And this time is very low, I think 70 milliseconds something. And the Python server is very, very slow. I can't use Python in this. So like a sensible person, I rewrote everything in a compiled language. There was no documentation for the server, so I just went through one day. I just woke up and like, I will learn Go. I will rewrite everything in Go. So I rewrote everything. It took 2 days to work. And out of the box, it was like fast enough. It was 2 times faster than the Python server that that was there. And it was under the FWT time limit. So I was Gucci. Everything's fine. And I could do things. And my servers is just rule-based. You write very stupid if and else cases to determine what packet to drop or what packet to modify. I'll go through it. This is an example packet, for example. This is just checking if the client, it's very bad code. it is just checking that the packet that is currently in the server, is it from the reader? And if it's from the reader, then are the first two bytes hex 90, hex 6A? If they are, then that is the application ID command. I will let you know how to figure out what commands are what for. And instead of sending it to the card, my server can act like a card and respond instead of the card. So I'm just responding dead beef, which doesn't really mean anything for the reader, but at least I can like act like a card and send data. So now, how do you figure out what hex 60 was? So basically, you go to libfreefair. It's from libnfc. And they have a file called mefair-desfire.c. Although the documentation for desfire is not online, you will have to pay like $200 or something to get hold of the documentation. what this person has done is instead of like making the documentation public, they just rewrote the documentation in like a proper code and then made it public. So I think it's under NDA or something. So here you can search for the commands. For example, what was the command that we were looking for here? It's 6A. So you go here and you search for 6A, and you find and you just read the function name. So function name is mefair_desfire get application ID. So it's just reading all the 16 application IDs from the card. And let's go through the talk now. Yeah. Now let's think of a real world example. Our real world example is like way too similar to Indian state metros. The recharge process is like two step here. The final stage is the AVM stage, the video that you saw previously. And you can recharge using any online medium. And we are also using the mefair_desfire EV1 card. So how will the AVM part look like in communication? So this is how normally the communication looks like when the recharge is happening, like real money is getting transferred in the card. So you have the reader, you have the card. Some monkey business goes on before, and then the credit command gets sent. The credit command, the first byte is always unencrypted because it's the command name, the ID for the command. And after that, it's the encrypted data. Encrypted data just contains the money. That's the money bit. And like a sensible, a good card, the card is going to respond with OK message. It's like HTTP 200. Here it's HEX 00. And some monkey business goes on. It's like database. Whatever changes that you make are normally temporary. You have to commit the changes to make finalize them. So the moment the communication ends, just before that, the last packet should be HEX C7, which is the commit change, like commit all the changes that are already made. Now again, we go here. We search for credit. How credit is done? We look for a function by the name of credit. This is the function, and it calls this particular function. If we search here, we find that the first byte that is added is HEX C. So here you could be sure that HEX C is the credit command, and whatever that comes afterwards is the money. Now, what if the reply to HEX C7, which is 00, that never arrives to the reader? Since good question, right? So let's just go through it. So this is the HEX C, which is the recharge part, the money transferring part. It goes through the card. The card replies with, oh, I have done the changes in the temporary memory. It's null. And then the commit command comes in to finalize everything. The commit goes on. And I drop the commit message in the server layer. Now, from the card POV, the recharge is already done. And the card has already acknowledged it. From the reader POV, the acknowledgement never came. So for the reader, the recharge is still pending. And you could just go on and on and on, recharge the same thing over and over and over. For example, you're recharging for 1 euro, which is like 100 rupees. You can do it as many times you like. You have the money. And after you are satisfied with the money, you leave your 100 rupees in the remaining balance. It's still a remaining thing. There is a rule in Delhi Metro that if you don't do the second factor, the AVM recharge, for 25 days, they will refund the money. So after 25 days, it's basically free. But this is way too extensive, time extensive, right? The whole thing will take like a minute or something. Like you will have to wait for another minute to do 100 rupees recharge again and again and again. We don't want that. Before that, let's go through how the rules for this looks like. So I'm just checking if the client type is reader. And I'm checking if the byte is C7. If it's C7, then I have to drop the next packet, which is like the null from the card. I just set a variable over here, drop next card equal to true. And when drop next card is true and the client type is card, I just drop the packet. I just reply with anything. For example, I just made up 7E here instead of 00. You just reply with anything, and it's fine. And the extensive time part. What if this encrypted data part, which contains the money, it is the same for the same session. If the session never ends, the encrypted part is going to be the same, right? So what if you just record the encrypted part, this particular command, HEX 0C, and the encrypted money part, and you close the connection at that particular point for the reader, but not for the card. You keep the card alive in the session. And then keep bombarding this HEX 0C over and over and over Now, every command is going to take what? Let's say 50 milliseconds or something? Maximum, yeah? So every 50 millisecond, you're getting a €1 recharge. And whenever you are satisfied, you just send hex E7 on your own, and it is committed. Good, right? So let's see how it looks like in action. Control E. So this is the same AVM, and instead of the card, I'm going to put my phone. That phone is acting like a card here, not really the phone. And you will see another phone will come into the picture. This phone is acting like a reader, and it is attached to the real Metro card. And I'm looking for a transaction over here. It is currently like 352 rupees on the card. I'm completing a recharge. Now, here's the funny bit. I'm pausing the video. When the engineers at Delhi Metro wrote this code, they never actually realized that somebody could do this. So the machine crashes. So you will have to wait like 30, 40 seconds to let it like restart or something. So if you see the red thing over there, it's like machine doesn't know what to do. And it's hanged. You can't really do anything. You will have to wait it for to restart. It will just show this. And normally, after the restart, it should go to the welcome screen, where it says welcome, etc., blah, and blah. But for some weird reason, it will go to the recharge screen again. It shouldn't work like that. So yeah, let's just wait for 10 more seconds, I think. Oh, never mind. There's a cancel button over there. You click on it, nothing happens. And then you place the card again. Instead of the welcome screen, you get the recharge. It's still showing 352 rupees, but the recharge has already done. It's 452 rupees now, but the recharge is still pending. You can do it. Now, some bits. How much time do I have left? Cool. Now, something similar that you can do, instead of recharging card, what if the money never debits from the card? That is also something you could do, right? So this is how this is what happens when you are exiting through the exit gates. The entry-exit gates are also like bona fide NFC readers. So the debit command is DC. You can go to libfreefair to cross-confirm that, and the encrypted data is the same. And then the OK message comes in, and the commit calls. It's very similar. Instead of hex 0c, the credit command, you have the debit command. There's also something funny that you could do. For example, you're traveling for 20 rupees. Instead of deducting 20 rupees, if you could just change this hex DC, which is the unencrypted part, to hex 0c, the machine is going to give you 20 rupees instead of deducting it. You could also do that. Whenever you travel, you are just earning more money for traveling. It's good for it's good for your card. Don't really do it in India, please. So, no, I don't want to update. Yeah. So hex DC. Now, I don't want the hex DC command to like actually go to the card, because the card will make those changes, right? And like the commit thing won't work here. So we have to be like a bit smart. By bit smart here, I literally means never let the DC command go to the card. Just drop it in the mid and send C7 on your own. It's fine. The debit never happens. The machine is happy. The card is happy. You are happy, and you are allowed to go. And you could, in theory, also change the D7 command to C7, and DC command to C7, and it should work fine. There is one more thing which is not in the slides. I have some time because there is no demo. I will just go through it. It's funny, I never actually talked about it. Let's go to the recharge part. Here. Remember when I told you that the encrypted part will be different for every session? Because the session key always changes. For like whenever you restart the session key should change, and that is required for encrypting data, so the encrypted part should also be different. Somehow, that's not the case. Security, woo! So for every other packet that is sent, it follows that same rule. The packet is different every time because it's encrypted with the session key. For whatever reason, the hex 0c command or the hex DC command, the credit and the debit command, it's the same. So so you don't really have to like go through all the pain. You could just read the 100 rupees recharge encrypted data, and whenever you put your card on the reader to like check how much money you have left, the the reader is actually going to unlock the application for you, that particular application which holds your money. So you have already completed the first hurdle, that is unencrypting the part, right? The reader is already doing it for you. So in theory, you could just read the encrypted data, and when you click on check current value or check current money, and the decryption part has already been done, you could just send a malformed request, hex 0c, and then encrypted data that you have recorded before, and do the recharge there. You don't really have to like go through the whole pain that you have to like do an online recharge of 100 rupees and then go there. You could just directly commit the second phase of the recharge. It's also allowed. I will also tell you one more thing. It's not for the card, it's for the reader. It's for the token. So we have something called Metro Token for small travel. I'll show you how it looks like. So this little thing here. So this is not a MiFair DESFi EV1 card. This is just a MiFair Ultralight card. And Ultralight cards, they have a security feature which is called, let's lock this particular memory section so nobody could write into it. And would you like to take a guess what Delhi Metro has done? They are not utilizing the security bits. So it is open to, your phone can read it, your phone can rewrite things in it. So if you're like smart enough, there is only like 1 KB or like 2 KB of data. I'm not sure, you will have to check that. But you could get a token for like 10 rupees, which is like 10 cents. You could get a token for 10 cent, modify the bytes, the money bytes in there to be 100, like 1 euro. And then there is a rule that if you don't travel on that token, like if you don't get entered into Metro Payments using that token for like 1 hour, you can refund it and get the real money back, like the currency. you know where I'm going with this. So easy money earning hack. Let's lose the job and do this every day. We are going to earn money. Don't go overboard with this because the maximum amount of token that you could buy is 90 rupees. Of course, if you like change it to like 1 million rupees, they will know. They are not that dumb. So like maximum you could do is like 90 rupees, 100 rupees. But yeah, that's there. Also, the money bytes here are 16 bits. So in theory, you could earn a lot of money in one go, but not really. That doesn't really happen. At that note, I'm going to close this. I'm very sorry about that. I don't really have a demo to show. I wanted to come here. Yeah, you could learn more about me at this particular link if you want. If you have any questions, you could just send me a mail. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there questions?
Does this Metro provider know of this non-existing security?
So this research started back in 2020. Because of COVID, my laziness, the research ended in 2022 February. It was 14th of February. I still remember, it's Valentine's Day. So on that same day, I wrote a bug report. Sent it to them, not just them, every Metro provider. I forgot to just tell you this. So the Metro era was started in the capital of India, which is Delhi Metro. And every other Metro in India just copy-pasted that. So these bugs exist all around the India. That's why the talk name is Traveling in India for Free. Now to answer your question, I have sent them multiple times. It was also covered by TechCrunch, just so the government notices. And till this day, I don't think I've ever received a mail or a reply that is written by a human. I have gotten replies which are computerized. So I think they don't really care. So you could, in theory, like travel for free, but don't. It's some part of it. It is like taxpayers' money. So don't.
Well, yeah, very cool. I like it very much. So the other side of this kind of game is, I think it's more like a pro tip of what the next hack could be, is if you think about the offline version of this system. So of course, when you like board the train or whatever, they're not connected to the internet, but they somehow validate that your card is valid. So there must be something special sauce in that reader, in that train, right? And the special sauce is a SIM card almost always, produced in 1990s, so it's going to be a good fun to hack it, because like you can hack it with a 50 euro equipment. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but a few thousand euros worth of equipment. And it has a master key in it. And that's what the all the encryption that you're seeing here is actually, it's a session key that's encrypted with this master key, and that allows it to communicate with the chip. And all you need to wait for is one of these people, you know, find one of these machines that is not working, right? It's not working. So they just like throw it away and sell it.
I've gone through that. I've been into dumpsters.
Yeah, okay. I like your array. And there is a SIM card in there somewhere. And if you legally buy the SIM card, you on paper legally own this thing that's inside that thing, which is a digital key that doesn't only allow you to upload, which is what you can do, right? So you can just
I know. I can do that. But the thing is, I do not know where their trash bag is. I've tried like asking Delhi Metro people if somebody could help me find their trash bag, but nah.
Yeah.
I also tried like getting a job into Delhi Metro.
I like the way you
But they don't hire people who are not from college. So I'm not from college.
The trick is with the next step of this, the only thing that you could do extra is that you can actually sign your own keys. So you can create any number of
I think I'll have to break into Metro premise at night.
No. Just have to wait for one of these to end up in the dumpster.
Yeah. I'll go through the dumpsters again.
Yeah, to answer on that. In India, government sector does not really dispose the garbage, like let's say for next 10 years. So they're going to keep it for 10 years and then they're going to throw it. So they won't dispose it anyhow. They're just going to throw it in some dumpsters. About you, your setup. So when you are using your from the reader, from the AVM machine, so you are using your device to stop the communication between the card and the AVM machine. And then after that, you're using your own phone to push the data to the card.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, you need only one phone.
But you need to start the communication because you need the reader to unlock that particular application in which the money bits are.
Yeah.
So you need two phones. And after a certain point, when you have read the hex 0c command, which is the credit command and the encrypted bit, then you could like lose that one phone, which is connected to the reader, and you keep that phone alive, which is connected to the card, and you keep bombarding the hex 0c command. And whenever you are done, you send the C7, the commit command.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Thanks.
Thanks, that's very cool. Let's say they do give you that job at Delhi Metro and you should fix this. Is this actually fixable, or do they have to change all the cards and all the readers before
that,
anything can be...
That.
Cool.
So the fix is, in India, we like to make fun of the government. The fix is, I forgot the term for it. So you basically get rid of all the cards that are like in publication for now, burn them, give them all new cards. But that is not really feasible because I think there are more than like 2 million cards that are currently active. So how will you do that? And that 2 million card is just in Delhi, I think. That number is pretty vague. Don't quote me on that. But there are many major cities with the same bug. And how will you like perform the same thing everywhere? It's hard, right? So I gave them a separate example that instead of like, remember the video, the AVM video, the card, you could just like tap on it and like do the transaction. I told them, what if you make the AVM wider than the NFC range, like 10 centimeter wide? You make those AVMs and the people will have to like put your card in the middle. So in no way you can make a MITM device or a relay device that is that thin as a card that can go inside to like communicate. That was like a very janky idea, but as far as I've known Delhi Metro, they could do it. But sadly, they won't. It costs money and they are lazy.
Are there further questions? If that's not the case, I guess we thank our speaker again and
Thank you.